The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Smoky out there, and we are tuning in once again. If you are headed northbound over there towards Knighton, there's a speed trap, just so you know. Don't want to give the the land pirates any more of our money.
Well, today is Sunday, July 28th, a couple more days to the end of the month here, and we'll be in August. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, and I'm here in the studio with the kid that rocks around the clock faster than a speeding internet connection. More powerful than a high-speed download, 10th degree black belt in RAM, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
And my sister, she's out on a sabbatical here for a couple of days, and our prayers go out to her and her husband, just so you know. I got a little bit of a congestion. I'm not sure if it's smoke or what. All right, so let's see. Where are we at here? Oh, well, we might as well do our advertisements for our sponsors. We're brought to you by Julie Foster. Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent, 810 Main Street, Red Bluff, 530-527-5534. She is the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. And Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded. Also, Crack Masters, Jeff Wurst. My sister does all the, does that plug for Jeff, and so I don't have all of his information in front of me. But you know where he's at. He's down there on South Market Street. Jeff's a great guy, and boy, he really knows his stuff on the windshield. Also, shout out to Marty Miguel at Clear Creek Microgreens. Clear Creek Microgreens. Say that five times fast.
I'm not even going to try.
Mountaintop Media. We'll be doing a show tomorrow. We will have the CEO of Redding, Shasta County. And he's coming in, Dave Rickards, and we'll be talking to him about some of the recent events and so forth. Other than that, I guess let's get on with the show here. We've got a lot to cover as usual, but
well, we do have another producer in here as well, same producer as last time. Remind me your name one more time.
My name's David.
Perfect. I should remember that.
There you go. Do you guys think you can remember your own names?
That's actually the hardest one, in my opinion. It is any time you've got it, you're like, I know it.
Just go, Dave who?
Dave's not here.
I've been going by, Raposa said, to call me Backwards Hat Man. I'm going with that.
Nice. I like it.
The catcher. Anyway, let's see. Where should we get started today? There's, I guess, you know, maybe what we'll do is we'll kick off the day with our friend JP and We Lie to You News. It's a pretty good one. It'll kind of set the theme for the show a little bit. And then we have some stuff to go over in Kamala, and I'm sure you have some stuff as well. But let's go. Are we ready to go in there? There we go. Here's JP.
Good evening, moron. There's not much going on in America this week.
Let's start that over again here. Hold on.
Good evening, moron. There's not much going on in America this week. Barely anything to report on. Only things happening are just a successful coup against the current president, an unelected nominee installed by the deep state, another president getting shot in the face, the director of the Secret Service resigning, a major cyber attack, and a whale jumping on a boat. So not really much worth talking about. But nonetheless, let us begin by starting with our new segment called It's Definitely Not a Coup. Receiving massive pressure to step down from the presidential race from Democratic elites, and most likely having funds and resources withdrawn, President Biden has officially pulled out of the presidential race. And his official statement was complete with a forged signature. And of course, the official reason he stepped down is because he has dementia. Even though we've known he has dementia and they've been using him as president for 4 years, he definitely stepped down because he just now has dementia. This is not a coup. And given that it was just now discovered that he's too mentally impaired to run for president, that same mentally impaired guy endorsed Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee. Which actually kind of makes sense when you think about it. Now let's hear it from the next president, she, her, herself. Take it away, Kamala.
We have earned the support of enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination.
Well, technically, she didn't earn the support of delegates, as in our democracy, voters didn't have a chance to vote for their nominee because we waited until after primary season to replace Biden. Weird how even BLM is calling this out rather than supporting this definitely black woman. So after Biden is pulled from the ticket against his will and Kamala is installed as the candidate against the will of the people, citizens will have a chance to vote for Kamala so she can save our democracy. Is what we're telling you. And she's fit for the job. You can trust us when we tell you that. Because just 3 weeks ago, we told you that Biden is fitter than ever, and then we did a 180 on him. And you can tell we at the media are serious about Kamala, because we're already running cover for her. You might remember how Biden anointed her as the border czar. Well, given that the border has been a massive failure by design, we at the media are now telling you that she never was the border czar. Even though those exact same media outlets previously acknowledged her as the border czar, as is the case with Axios here. And the fact checkers are now on high alert and working overtime to protect the public from the reality of our strong candidate. Here you can see that a video by a right-wing comedian being less than complimentary of Kamala was instantly pounced on by the fact checkers. For your protection. You know we're serious about a candidate when mainstream media and big tech are working in lockstep to shape the narrative about them rather than letting you see the reality about them. Now, on to a question on everybody's mind. Will Kamala replace Biden as president before the election? Well, I'm sure that won't happen, because if that were to be the case, for Trump to be elected, that would mean he'd be the third different president in 4 months, and some people wouldn't want that kind of instability. And it would position Kamala as the incumbent, which is traditionally a much stronger position for a candidate to be in during an election. So we're really quite certain that the DNC would absolutely not do such a tactic to manipulate voters, because that would be election interference. And they would never do that. And there's precisely zero likelihood that they'll start World War III so they can usher in martial law as an excuse to cancel elections. Which is the same strategy they used in Ukraine to cancel their elections in an effort to save their democracy. But never existed. In other news, Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle had to resign in disgrace for failing to assassinate Trump. She was trying to do the opposite. Kim Cheadle had some good, strong, wholesome, honest testimony while getting grilled by Congress. Take a look.
What about a man laying on a building that has direct line of sight of President Trump with a gun that people are screaming and pointing out? Is that a threat, Ms. Cheadle?
Once that individual was identified, they were neutralized.
No, they were neutralized. Crooks was neutralized after he shot President Trump in the face, Ms. Cheadle.
He definitely wasn't identified as a threat until he took a shot at President Trump, okay? Well,
Technically, he took several shots at Trump before he was identified as a threat. To prove that, take a look at this body cam footage released by Senator Chuck Grassley, where agents are discussing how they had taken pictures of the would-be assassin and were sending them to other agents during the rally prior to the shots being fired.
Greg, that's the sniper that sent the original pictures and seen him come from the bike and set the book bag down and then lost sight of him. He's the one that sent the pictures out. I don't know if you got the same ones I did.
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they were just taking pictures of him because he's such a good-looking guy. There was no way to know he could have possibly been a threat. There's really nothing suspicious at all here. Lone gunman, that's it. Can we stop asking questions? Cheeto resigned. Isn't that enough for you people? And in other news, with all the turmoil going on with assassinations and coups, I wonder what Alex Jones thinks will happen next.
The desperate deep state. So cyber attacks, power outages.
Cyber attacks? What an idiot. You guys never write about anything. This just in! 3 days after Alex Jones said that, the nation suffers a massive IT disruption with CrowdStrike. And this is being ruled a coincidence. Therefore, he's wrong once again. And now that Kamala's installed, I wonder what Jones thinks of that.
They will move to put Hillary Clinton in.
Oh, God. That sounds lovely. And finally, here's two guys delivering the Olympic torch to Paris. Can't wait for the woke Olympics this year. That's it for today's news. There are no coups, no inside jobs, there's no deep state, and no critical thinking allowed. Go back to bed, America, and never wake up. Good night.
There you have it. Wow. On that Olympic thing, did you happen to catch the opening ceremonies?
I did not, but I caught the one that was the trans drag queen Jesus Last Supper. Is that the one that you're?
Well, there was that one. Then there was the dance motif with the drag queen, and it's like, what does this have to do with sports? It's not like there's a group of satanic leaders directing traffic or something. Who does it? I mean, what kind of crap is that? I mean, you have a parody of The Last Supper with a bunch of drag queens?
Well, and so this is supposed to bring people together on a united front across the world when vast percentage
maybe
of the world
maybe they want you
is
to turn the TV off when the Olympics come on.
This is the reason why I wouldn't begin to watch it in the first place. It's like any of the rest of the stuff. It's like, all right, so what have we seen from the past few years from the Super Bowl stuff? It's like nonstop, hey, let's put all of this horrible crap in your face at every opportunity we get, and then talk about how great it is and how you're a bigot and sexist and racist if you don't end up falling for it and saying that's all the greatest thing in the world. The king has no clothes.
Well, it's kind of strange, right? You know, I mean, it just defies logic and common sense. But, you know, it's in your face. It's always about you're not giving them their rights if you don't let them put it in your face.
Well, and so I've actually got a article that I want to give some praise to over this. So, courage over profit, tech company yanks all Olympic ads following demonic opening ceremony.
Yeah, who was that? That was, who was it that yanked all the ads?
So it is a Mississippi-based tech company, CSpire, the sixth largest wireless provider in the country, revealed in a tweet Saturday morning that it decided to no longer advertise for the Olympics in a remarkable display of corporate courage. The company described itself as shocked by the cruel mockery of the Christian faith. We're shocked by the mockery of the Last Supper during the opening ceremonies in the Paris Olympics. CSpire will be pulling our advertising from the Olympics. Good for them.
Is it like woke go broke? They still don't get it, or they don't care, or they don't want people to participate? I don't know.
Well, at this point, to me, I look at it, and at this point, it's like, okay, so the people that are fine with shooting Trump are the same people that are fine with shooting anybody that they believe is MAGA. Make America great, people deserve to die. It's like one of those things to where it's like, okay, so we believe they're people with bad ideas. They believe we're bad people. That's the difference in the ideology. That's
it's
the kind of
like
the
difference between Hitler and not. Hitler not only thought they were bad people, but he wanted to kill them all. And so that's what made him a fascist. So how can these guys think that that's what should happen to you and that's okay, but you're the fascist?
The more we look at this, the more we see that Christianity as a whole has been under attack for a long time now. But now we're at the place to where I think in the United States, within the next 10 years, I have no doubt they're going to try to ban the Bible. There's no doubt in my mind. You look at what's going on right now, all right? So you've got the Olympics and you've got the Last Supper is a mockery between all the trans people that are there. You've got this big shiny headdress that's on top of this trans woman that's over there. And this is supposed to be fine. This is the way that culture is moving. And I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day. And we were discussing the way politics has changed and shifted and moved. And I have no doubt in my mind that today Bill Clinton would have been a Republican. Hmm. If you basically just fast-forwarded to today, he would be Republican. Hmm. That's where we've moved to as a nation in a whole.
Well, interesting. So I got a couple more clips to play. Let's stay on the Kamala theme for a little while anyway. here we go. This is from Cat Turd on X.
There are reports that say that you have the lowest approval rating of any vice president.
Well, there are polls that also say I have great approval ratings.
Swing voters don't like Harris. How big a drag is Kamala Harris on the ticket?
She's a pretty big drag. I think she was arguably Biden's worst political decision.
They don't like her. There's lots of reasons they don't like her.
Kamala Harris's approval rating is now at 28%, which is an historic low for any modern vice president.
We're hearing it from mainstream media, one outlet after another, one leak after another, that Kamala Harris is the worst vice president ever, the worst politician ever.
We don't see the vice president. What people are saying to me, and I'm sure they're saying it to you, where's the vice president?
Some White House officials are feeling that she came off looking unprepared for inevitable questions about when she might visit the southern border.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
The point that Lester Holt was making was obvious to anyone else who was watching this interview, which is that the issues at the border are inextricably linked with the portfolio that she's been given.
The border is secure. We have a secure border.
Bidenomics is working.
Prices have gone up. And families and individuals are dealing with the realities that bread costs more, that gas costs more. And we have to understand what that means. That's about the cost of living going up.
He picked Kamala Harris to be his running mate. She was ranked and is ranked as the most liberal senator in the United States Senate. So he could have gone the other way, but he went to the left.
Joe Biden is running for re-election, and I will be his ticket mate. Full stop. Full stop. Sit.
I feel so much better now.
You know, this kind of gets me to the idea of what Alex Jones said with the whole Hillary is going to be installed in there. Man, oh man, can you imagine those two cackling laughs in the White House?
What are you talking about, Hillary on the ticket as VP?
Uh-huh. Can you imagine that? Just the cackles from the press conference.
Cackling Kamala. I don't know.
Unburdened by what was and what can be and what will be.
Yeah, unburdened by sanity. I guess we have no chat room anymore. Is that? I guess.
No, it's there.
Is it there? Is asking for credentials to get in. Do we still have the same old idiots in there? Or?
No, because of the credential.
Oh, I see. So how do
nice.
I, yeah, that's good. I'd like to figure out how to get in there, I guess. But
what's it say there? Put in your email?
No. It just says put in your username. And I
thought just make one up there. Yep.
It still wouldn't let me in. Huh. That's interesting. So
Let me try to work on that.
I will try again here as we go on.
So also, by the way, at the Olympics, there was apparently a dude right behind the dude dressed in blue.
I'm in.
Who,
that's kind
of
weird.
Who is portraying his testicles to all of the world to see.
How do you portray your
testicles? He basically just had them out, hanging out loud and proud out of his little star-spangled jammies here. So that's interesting. How do you do that by mistake unless you wanted to make sure that you could just, like, make sure millions of people saw that?
I'm in the chat room, but I just typed something in, and it didn't give me and let me see if it goes in. It's kind of interesting, and it didn't put it into the message. I mean, I'm at 725 on the – was it coming? Oh, there it is. It's going from the top, so it's scrolling from the wrong way. But I seem to be in there. I'm not sure. Maybe it was because I used a different browser this time and went in. But it seems to be working. So there you go. So we got the chat room up and running. Hopefully we've got the morons out of there because all they do is try to disrupt everything. Looks like Jimmy's in there. All right. So let's see. Where do we want to go next?
And somebody says, when's a good time to call in, Mark?
Anytime. I mean, today's open open mic day, open phone day, I guess. my sister, she's out today, and you know, I have a little bit of a bug or something, or it's just the smoke. I can't tell which. Got a little congestion going on here. I had a headache, so I'm not feeling all that great. But yeah, anybody wants to call in, go right ahead and give us any updates on any new information. I was curious. I did listen to the last show. I didn't get the whole thing on what was going on down at the county. Maybe somebody could update us on that as well. I will be talking to Dave Rickard tomorrow at a podcast. But what was going on over there? What's the legal thing? Patrick Jones was here with Lori, and I missed part of it, so I didn't get the actual gist of what was going on. But anybody who calls in, you know, with any information, you're welcome. You're welcome on the show today. Play, I guess, here.
Well, we could do that. So there is news that's trending today that just ended up popping up. Imagine this. So Google is now suppressing any information about the Trump assassination attempt. You type it into Google, it doesn't want to show up, all the information's gone. You can still find it on DuckDuckGo.
And that's why Republicans and conservatives are the fascists, because they're the ones that censor everything, right? Yeah, it's really funny. These people call everybody fascists and Nazis, and do they even know what that means? It's like this whole deal of, you know, and it's like calling them a communist. It doesn't bother them at all because they don't even understand or don't care what that means. What are the ramifications of being a communist? Every failed state that's ever been, as far as human rights and freedom that has ever existed under communism, is 100%. Totalitarian ends up there every single time with a dictator that tells everybody what to do, and your quality of life goes completely out the window. They don't even get it.
Well, and the more and more you see these people that have the ideologies of, like, what we saw with this whole Palestine thing. Let's go in, let's destroy all the statues, let's destroy all the monuments. You look at what took place over at the Freedom Bell just this last week, and
that was a mostly peaceful protest.
Mostly peaceful, except for the officers that got attacked and all of the graffiti that ended up.
They let them all go.
It.
They just let them all off the hook because they're, you know.
Because, you know, justice in this country. Justice. There's definitely a lot of that that's going around. Whereas if you and I did that, like, let's say, at an abortion clinic, we would be in jail like the little 80-year-old grandma.
Just got sentenced, yeah.
Now, mind you, the grandma that lived through the Holocaust and the Nazi camps, she was in one of them. Now she gets to go to jail because she ended up standing in an abortion clinic.
Because she disagrees with the part about killing babies as being a problem?
Yeah, so that particular thing.
That's why she's a fascist.
Yes. But the people that want to go and attack officers, the people that want to deface absolutely everything in the history books, everything else, want to fundamentally destroy
the culture.
I'm
starting to understand this whole liberal thing. All you have to do is think what common sense is and do the opposite.
Yes, that would be the play.
Yeah. I mean, so it's pretty easy. I'm starting to get a hold of this, you know. I mean, if anything that you do is wrong, you just pretend somebody else is the one doing it.
Yes. So they want to make sure that you're fully aware of what they're doing, but they want you to blame the other side that's not doing it.
Yeah. It's kind of like that movie. What was that movie? The one with the guy, the dentist, he was torturing the guy, just Dustin Hoffman, years ago. I can't remember the name of the movie.
Don't know that one.
But he's like, you know, he's like putting a scalpel into his mouth, and he's like, you know, hitting an open nerve, and he's like, is it safe? And he's like, hell yeah, it's safe! And, is it safe? No, it's not safe at all. So the point being is that it didn't matter. The truth had no bearing on the answer. It was just, if I tell you what the answer is, that's the answer that you give. So what that does is that turns you into a robot. And that's kind of what we're seeing on the gaslighting thing, you know. I mean, with Kamala, one week she's, you know, the horse's butt, and the next week she's the best thing since sliced bread. It's like, so we do have a caller. So let's go to our caller. Jimmy on the line.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, the fun never stops. How about you?
I know. It doesn't. I've missed the last couple weeks of radio shows because I've been up on the fire lines, but I just want to touch to the point of they trotted Kamala Harris in, if I'm not mistaken, because they couldn't, they had $90 million in the Biden-Harris election coffers, right?
Right.
So they couldn't legally, from what I understand, they couldn't give those funds to another Democrat person running. Is that correct?
Well, that's my understanding to a degree, is that they just can't hand the money over to anybody they wanted. They had to have the delegates, Biden's delegates, to migrate over to Harris in order to get the campaign funds over there, is my understanding. And then, and you know, I don't, these guys don't follow the law. They're just, it's all about appearances, I think.
I know, but it's all the money. And the other thing is we heard that a bunch of donors were withholding donations because of Biden's performance at the historically debacle, horrible failure of a debate he did. And then as soon as they got Kamala on the ticket, they said, oh, they raised $100 million, a record. Well, that $100 million, in my opinion, was just the money they were going to give Biden and just gave it to Kamala. So it's like she didn't earn it, or she didn't, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like it's kind of like a coup. You know, they just supplanted the existing president without going through legal means of either impeaching him or the 25th Amendment. But the scuttlebutt is that they came in and threatened him with the 25th Amendment if he didn't. Yeah, I've got a report here. Barack Obama threatened to use the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden after his medical incident in Las Vegas and had Kamala Harris' approval to do so. So it's kind of like, you know, and again, I don't know. I can't believe everything you read anyway. But, I mean, would you be shocked if that's the absolute truth?
I wouldn't be shocked about almost anything that comes out nowadays. But my point is that the only reason they gave it to Kamala Harris is because of the money. It's all about the money.
So, well, but it's also, you know, who else? How else are they going to make the transfer and make it look even marginally legal? I mean, she is the one that's the vice president, and in order to if he just says, "Hey, I resign," she steps in there, and there's no choice about that. But he hasn't resigned at all at this point. He's still the sitting president, but he's just gotten rid of his nomination at the DNC. So instead of having the DNC decide who else is going to be, because she's in line, you know, maybe that's maybe the whole thing is money, but is she going to last? I don't know. This report about Alex Jones saying that Hillary's going to get in there pretty soon. Who knows? I mean, what a freaking crap show.
Yeah, bad to worse.
Yeah,
so,
I mean.
Anyway, I miss your guys' show. Like I said, I've been up on the hill fire for about 9 days. So I just want to give a shout out to all the firefighters out there and the support vendors that are up on
the
line.
Sound like you got smoker's cough a little bit.
I do. Yeah, it was horrible. I had to sleep out there in the truck, and it was like, you know, sleeping at a Led Zeppelin concert. So, yeah, I'm probably going to the park fire here in a day, like tomorrow. So.
Right. Well, get some rest, get some sleep, get yourself rejuvenated, and yeah, if you got to get back out there. But
yeah,
it's crazy right now. I mean, it's up to like 350,000 acres, and last time I checked, it was only like, you know, 12% contained or something. I'd have to get on my phone again and take a look, and I'll get an update here. But
that doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is, because when you're at zero containment, it's just a free for all. And once they get a foothold on a certain section, the head of the fire is what they were concerned about.
Right.
And it hit that ridge, and when it hits a ridge like that, fire doesn't want to go down. It likes to go up.
Right.
Up a ridge. So just for people out there that don't know that,
yeah.
That was a big buffer. So that's where they're trying
to. Well, and evidently that's what's going to save Manton. And I've got, you know, friends and clients out there in Manton I was really worried about. And then Shingletown. And then Chris Kellstrom did a report on Facebook yesterday where he was up there on the fire line and he was checking things out with the guy. I don't have the report here in front of me, but he says that you know, he's able to go home and sleep because the fact was that it looks like they're going to be okay over there. I guess they do have a handle on it. The report I do have is 353,194 acres, containment at 12%. That was updated 3 hours ago. So it is what it is. But, evidently they're starting to get a little bit of a handle on it. So the fact that they can keep those communities from at this point, let's keep our fingers crossed, because things can happen. But the wind has died down. The cooler temperatures are all a factor on fighting this thing.
Yeah, and the higher humidity, too. And I just want to give a shout-out to the hand crews, because people out there don't know how that works, because I drive a water tender, and it's like driving a 4,000-gallon truck down a dirt road. You'd be hesitant of taking a four-wheel drive down, you know. And there's smoke and flames on all around you. But when you get down to your drop point, they call them drop points, you have to hook up to a fire engine and feed them their 500 gallons, and I got 4,000 gallons in my truck.
Right.
And at that engine feeds what they call a line, and it's an inch and a half water hose that can go for up to like a mile. And the hand crews, those are the people that have the cojones, because they go down in these valleys and, I mean,
listen, Jimmy, we got to go to a break. If you want to hang on to the line, go ahead, but we got to go to a hard break here. So
okay, sure.
We'll be right back. Go ahead and hang on the line if you want.
Yeah.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is backed by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number, and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Joe Biden. Sovereign Minds, we're back. Yeah, that was, you know what's interesting about that song is that was like way over a year old. So it's like they're even making songs about the guy and his dementia years ago. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, overnight he's just screwed up. And it's just like Kamala goes from, oh, yeah, overnight she's the, you know, the worst thing. And now she's the best thing.
That's so, the way it works.
Are you still on the line, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm still hanging out.
All right, so let's go ahead and finish this up, and then we'll go from there.
Sure, man. I just want to give the hand crews that go out there and walk down in these valleys and cut hand lines by hand. You'd have to see it to believe it. Those guys get a big kudos. So.
Yeah, I've actually been on one of those hand crews as a young lad. I couldn't take the smoke, though. I mean, I worked for the Forest Service down in Happy Camp, and I worked for CDF when it was California Fire Department, or California right. Forestry Department. That's we had different acronyms for the CDF, but never mind. But anyway, yeah, I've been there. I couldn't take the smoke, quite frankly. It used to I'd make me sick. I'd have headaches and everything else. Kind of like sort of what I've got now.
Right. Anyways, great show, guys. I'm glad to be back to get to listen to your show because I'm out of radio range and phone range and all that stuff. So you guys have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, appreciate Jimmy. The call. All right, so I did pull up Chris Kellstrom's Facebook report, and it says, I'm very happy to report, this is 16 hours ago, that I just returned from northern portion of the fire line with the county chief, and there's no damage or fire in Shasta County. Manton was undamaged, and Shingletown seems to be in no danger. I'm not a fire expert, but I will sleep well tonight knowing my people in Manton and Shingletown are safe. Shout out to the chief, his firefighters, and all the people helping. It's a huge relief, thank God. So there's one of our supervisors up there that's actually a great guy and out there checking on things to make sure they're going well. That's nice to hear. I don't think we heard that from a lot of other ones in the past. So I guess we have another caller. It's probably Stones. Yeah, that's who it is.
That's it.
You're on the air, Stones. What you got?
On the air? Oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do. Hey,
breathe,
question,
breathe.
No,
breathe.
Comment, questions, comments, concerns, complaints. Hey, you know, the whole, board interruption last week by Jenny Nguyen.
Oh yeah.
I'm not sure if people know this or not. I have not confirmed this. However, multiple people have told me she is now an employee of the elections office. So not sure in what capacity. But that's concerning by itself. And then I also want to remind people that if you want to run for a local office, school board, water board, whatever, we're in the filing window right now. Contact the elections office. And Mayor Paul is typically the one that does candidate filings. So please get on the local school boards. That's very important. We'll see what happens with Laura Hobbs's appeal, but hopefully that'll go to a special election. So if that happens, I think the two local races that are going to be the ones to watch would be her race if she is allowed to come in on a special election. But the county officer education race is going to be the one to watch this year. Right now, it's a 6-1 minority, 6 establishment libtards and 1 conservative, but there's 4 seats up. So that board can flip from a 6-1 minority to a 5-2 majority conservative in 1 election. Now, we all know that the establishment is going to do everything they can to keep that from happening, to include ballot harvesting. We just know it's going to happen. You know, it is what it is. And you know, the SCOE, they're, they do different things. And this morning on the radio, Katie was talking about SCOE. And I'm doing additional deep research on SCOE right now. I did deep research 2 years ago because I ran. And now I'm doing more research for what's happened in the last 2 years. But SCOE has about 170 students. They have special education. They have the kids in juvenile hall. They have independent study. So they have about 170 students. And I'm getting all my information on, you know, from the California Department of Education website. It's all official government sources. So, but the SCOE race is going to be the one to watch. Because although they don't have jurisdictional power over the other school boards, they have great political power over them. And turning the SCOE over and going conservative is going to make a huge statement. So that's the race to watch this year, folks, for sure.
Very good.
And yeah. And then last thing was the city of Reading. You know how the county passed the Second Amendment resolution recently for Senate Bill 2. And the county resolution invoked a particular law which now allows people with a lawful carry permit to carry on county property. Well, the local rifle pistol chapter, which I'm a part of, we then went to the city of Reading next to have them do that. And the city council voted on it, and even Mark Bazzano and Jack Munn said, quote, "This is not city business," unquote. OMG. I have no idea where they pull that out of, what orifice they pull that out of, because, you know, the law is very specific, stating that the executive body having, control over security of government facilities, they have the authority to allow concealed carry. So, not sure where Mr. Marzano and Munn pull that one out of, but, and then, so what happened after that was, Mayor Audette, she issued an individual proclamation that she signed supporting the Second Amendment. But nowhere in there did she invoke the penal code section that would give the citizen, anybody carrying on City of Reading property. There is no legal protection. That proclamation that Mayor Audette filed is absolutely useless, because to this day, if you're caught with a concealed weapon on city property, you can be prosecuted, unlike the county. And so I'm putting this out on the radio. I'm going to be asking the state of Jefferson to connect with me so we can do a massive campaign against Mayor Audette, because she's running for state something, Senate, Assembly, whatever. And I'm going to ask Jefferson to help me run an anti-Second Amendment campaign against Mayor Audette, because she failed miserably here.
They probably talked to one of their legal experts, and that's how it usually works.
Well, how expert are they when they can't read, you know, sixth grade English in the penal code? It's extremely simple.
Right.
It's very simple. And the county did it because it is legal.
Right.
And so, anyway, so like I said, I'm going to do a push through the rural counties, which Mayor Audette is trying to run for, and I'd like Jefferson hopefully to help me. We're going to put the word out that she, and by the way, she is a fake conservative. She's a fake constitutionalist. You know, I'm sorry. This Bethel constitutional biblical citizenship class, how do I say this? It's misleading. Because in one sentence, you know, Mayor Audette, and you can go back and watch on the video archive, she talks about being I'm a constitutional educator. And then in the next sentence, she talks about, oh, we have to wait for the courts to decide the constitutionality of something. Those are oxymoronic. That is not how a constitutional republic works. So I'm not sure what kind of fake constitutional training Bethel's giving, but it's not how I say it.
Listen, Rich, I do got Chris Kellstrom on the other line. I'd like to get him on here so we don't lose him, but
okay.
I appreciate the call, and you can call back anytime you want.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. Okay. Chris, are you on the line?
Hey, Mark.
How's it
going?
Good
morning, guys.
Good morning. Good. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Hey, thanks for reading that that comment of mine online, my observations. You would not believe the amount of grief I received from the Reading pages. I mean, I simply stated what I saw, how it made me feel, which, by the way, it made the fire chief, who is a fire expert, feel much the same way as I did. There was a huge sense of relief. I mean, the fire is, you know, nowhere in there did I say ignore evacuation warnings. You know, there's no chance of this flaring back up. I didn't say any of that. The amount of grief I received is unbelievable from the same type of people that shut down board supervisors meetings. Yeah. Now, again, Reading page.
Well, it made me feel a lot better. I'll tell you what, just for the fact is I do have some friends out in Manton and some clients out in Manton and Shingletown as well. So it's, you know, I was really worried about that. And then I'm also, you know, does it mean it's all over? Of course not. It's just like, you know, but we're getting a break here. Hopefully they'll get this thing under control and handled because, I mean, the last thing we wanted to do is to just keep spreading because if the wind changes, it could head towards Reading.
And I tell you, Friday night I sat on my back porch and it faces due east right at, you know, Lassen and, mm-hmm. and Black Butte and Shingletown. And I mean, that entire ridgeline was on fire. I could see it plain as day. And it's like, I honestly thought, I stayed up until midnight. I honestly thought Manton was gone at that point. And the rate that it was spreading, I thought by the morning it's going to be in Shingletown. So when I woke up and I saw that inversion cloud over it, no more of those giant cumulus clouds, I was like, thank God. And then when I went out there at, you know, 3-4 in the afternoon, what I saw was just the hugest sense of relief ever because literally it was like there was the majority of it was had stopped burning. There was a couple little hot spots here and there. And of course, there was stump smoldering, which again, I understand a stump smoldering couldn't send off an ember in a high wind. I get that. That's why I never said ignore evacuations, warnings, everybody go home. I didn't say anything. I said what I saw, how I felt, and the relief I felt, and, you know, to try to give somebody some peace of mind. But again, some of the comments online are just unbelievable.
Well, they attack for political reasons, not anything else. And you can take,
right.
Yeah, that's all it is. I get to the point where I don't even care what they say, or I pay no attention to them at all, unless it's
how much of it is bots, too?
What's that?
Yeah. How much of it is bots? I mean,
I don't know.
Sometimes, I mean, it's not just stupid takes. Sometimes it's malicious just to try to get people to get riled up and mess with each other. I mean, that's something that we see. So, for instance, a lot of the information on Facebook, right? So the top three Facebook communities that are Christian posts on Facebook are run by Russian bot networks. What does that tell you?
I don't know. It tells me that the word screwed up beyond belief. But, you know, we see what these local guys do. And I think in general they're plants to just disrupt and instigate things. You know, that's all it is. And go ahead.
So one last shout-out, because I tell you, shout-out to the chief. He was spectacular. Dave Rickard, the CEO, was with us yesterday. And shout-out to these firefighters and all the crews that are working on this fire, because, I mean, I tell you what, that fire is unprecedented. That fire is nothing like that has ever been seen before, at least, you know, for as long as we can remember. The car fire went 229,000 acres. It took 39 days to get there. This one went 239,000 acres in 2 days.
Yeah, it was like 100,000 overnight from what I saw. When I went to bed, it was like 120, and then the next day, it was like, holy crap, you know.
It was 5,000 acres an hour. I mean, it was unprecedented. The three fire chiefs with their meeting down in Butte County, so Butte Fire Chief, Sam Fire Chief, and our fire chief, you know, all three of them were like, we have never seen anything like this in our lives. So thank God the winds died down at 1 a.m. on Saturday morning. You know, thank God for our firefighters, and thank God nobody was hurt. And again, no fire and no damage in Shasta County. The fires never crossed into Shasta County. We have had no fire. It's all Tehama County. I mean, poor Tehama County, 300,000 acres burned just in Tehama County alone. But again, shout out to the firefighters, shout out to the crews, and I got to go. So love you guys.
All right, thanks Chris. Much. All right, appreciate the call. Yeah, I was looking at the reports on the fire, and it looked like there was like 134 structures so far, which is, under the circumstances, not as bad as it could have been, I guess. So that's not 134 people that haven't lost their livelihood or their homes or whatever, but it's at least it's not as bad as it could have been. And I guess it's mostly out. I'm just looking at the report here right now. But
well, and just the sheer force of the fire, too. We were seeing some things, at least from uncorroborated reports, what I'm not finding right now. But I was seeing some of the information to where there was pockets of gas that were in the clouds about 5,000 feet up, that it was so big and massive that it was actually igniting those pockets of gas. And formerly, we haven't seen this. I think this is now the seventh largest fire in California history.
Well, it's now the largest fire in the United States right now. So,
well, yeah.
So, anyway, I don't necessarily have all the stats on that, but just say a prayer for these guys out there, and let's get this thing under control as quickly as possible. I wanted to say shout out to Rich. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I didn't want to lose Chris. I know he was on there for a short amount of time, so... Anyway, we're just about at the top of the hour here. We got a few more minutes left to go. I did have a couple of things here. Let me see. Let's play this one. This is about a two-minute thing from Kamala.
I, Kamala Harris, am your Democrat candidate for president because Joe Biden finally exposed the senility of the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such great significance to the passage of time.
Another trick is trying to sound black. I pretend to celebrate Kwanzaa, and in my speeches, I always do my best Barack Obama impression.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's tight.
And okay, look, maybe my work addressing the root causes of the border crisis were catastrophic, but my knowledge of international politics is truly shocking.
The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. It is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
And just remember, when voting this November, it is important to see what can be unburdened by what has been. And by what has been, I mean Joe Biden. You think the country went to over the past 4 years? You ain't seen nothing yet.
Gillette.
That's the latest Kamala Harris ad out. I guess we got a couple minutes to the second hour here. Yeah, she's an idiot. I see. Oh, boy. I don't know.
Well, I do. There's actually a lot of information that's coming up on the border crisis that I want to talk about when we come back. There is something that I want to mention about Kamala Harris that's specifically bad. So she's the most unpopular vice president in history of polling, hoping to reintroduce herself to the public, and it's our job that we know the facts about her. So I'm going to probably have to take this on the other side, too. Can we do the break now? Let's go ahead and do that, and then that way we can not end up going across it.
Yeah.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. Israel says a rocket strike at a soccer field has killed at least 12 children and teens in a town in the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights.
This was a disaster for the Druze community in Majd al-Shams, but it was also a disaster for Hezbollah. If Hezbollah fired the rocket that caused all of those deaths, then it wasn't just killing Druze citizens in the occupied Golan Heights, it was also affecting the Druze community in its own country. There are Druze people living in Lebanon, and they will be furious at the suggestion, the possibility, that Hezbollah, which claims to defend the rights of all Lebanese civilians, has been responsible for killing their kinfolk across the border.
GOP Congressman Mike Waltz of Florida says the U.S. should take much harsher action against terrorists targeting U.S. and international shipping in the Red Sea.
The Houthis are still shooting at and sinking international shipping. They are still practically closing down the Suez Canal and the Red Sea, this ragtag bunch of terrorists backed by Iran.
Congressman Waltz's comments were aired on the Salem Radio Network. Former President Donald Trump continued a pattern of escalating attacks against his likely opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris. Mr. Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance, appeared at a rally yesterday in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Vice President Harris's campaign has raised $200 million since she emerged as a likely Democratic presidential nominee last week. The campaign announced a fundraising total today for Harris, saying about 66% of the donations come from first-time contributors in the 2024 election cycle. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Government debt is now exploding by an unprecedented $1 trillion every 90 days. Think of that. It's a clear sign that our nation's finances are spinning out of control, and it's putting the savings of every one of you at risk. Hello, I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst and best-selling author and an evangelical leader. I'm deeply concerned about the impact this runaway debt is going to have on Christians like you who have worked hard to build your own nest egg for your family. To protect your financial future in these uncertain times, you need to diversify with something tangible and proven, like physical gold. That's why I recommend a gold IRA. To learn more, text FAITH to the number 989898, and my friends at Birch Gold Group will rush you a free info kit on how to move your IRA or 401k to physical precious metals, tax and penalty free. So don't wait. Just text the word FAITH to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs. Birch Gold Group is the only company I trust. There's no obligation. So text FAITH to 989898, and I pray this information helps you achieve prosperity and peace of mind.
The swimming portion of a practice run for the Olympic triathlon has been canceled because of concerns about water quality in the Sens River. Correspondent Kate Brumback reports the Olympic authorities are confident the water quality problem will resolve itself.
The bacteria levels are elevated because of heavy rains on Friday during the opening ceremony and continued rain on Saturday. But city officials said that after similar heavy rain events in the past, the bacteria in the river have returned to acceptable levels within 24 to 48 hours. With no more rain in the forecast, they said they are confident the water quality will be okay and the triathletes will be able to swim in the Seine this week during actual events.
Speaking of the Olympics, Rafael Nadal made a last-minute decision to play singles at the Paris Olympics, winning his first round match and setting up a blockbuster showdown against rival Novak Djokovic. News and analysis at townhall.com. An agreement has been reached between rival Palestinian political factions Fatah and Hamas.
The agreement is the latest attempt at resolving a long-standing rivalry that looms over any potential vision for the rule of Gaza after Israel ends its offensive in the enclave. Hamas has ruled Gaza for the past 17 years, whilst Fatah is the main force in the US-backed Palestinian Authority that administers parts of the occupied West Bank. Previous declarations similar to this have failed in the past, and the potential joint government would face fierce opposition from Israel and the US, both of which reject the pact. I'm Karen Shamas.
Wisconsin Republicans are asking voters to take away the governor's power to unilaterally spend federal money, a reaction to the billions of dollars that flowed into the state during the COVID-19 pandemic. Democratic Governor Tony Evers was free to spend the money as he pleased. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Before, could have guessed that you were fine. You smell like a bagel. Adult girls make me cry. You float my own tugboat in my bountiful depend. I wish I was special. You're so f***ing special. But I'm a creep. I'm a pedo. How the hell did I get here? How did I get here? I know my butt's been wiped.
My butt's been wiped.
I can't help when I pee. I want a perfect toddler. I want a perfect tween. I hope they don't notice when I'm sniffing around. It's so f***ing special.
That's a hard one to listen to.
Yeah, I know. The truth.
Well, and in regards to that, ironically, Kamala Harris endorsed author of California's pro-pedophile bill. In 2020, Harris endorsed the California lawmaker who's behind SB 175, which critics have dubbed the pro-pedophile bill for its relaxed automatic sex offender registration guidelines. The new guidelines exempt some convicted pedophiles of certain offenses from mandatory sex offender registration if the person is not more than 10 years older than the minor, when the minor is between the ages of 14 and 17, leading the decision to the presiding judge. First introduced in 2019, SB 145 did not legalize pedophilia in California. The bill, which was passed by the state legislature and signed by Governor Gavin Newsom, empowered woke judges to keep a 24-year-old who had sex with a 14-year-old from being required to register as a sex offender. So, you also have the fact that when she was confronted on it by the media back in 2020, she had nothing to say bad about it. So that's pretty interesting. And then also, of course, you look at Anthony Weiner, which at this point, if you have anything that has to do with a body or appendages, your last name.
I don't want to look at Anthony Weiner or any of them.
Probably don't need to be in Congress.
Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure there's something wrong. I can just look at Joe Biden's behavior for the last how many years, and then the fact that they want drag queen story hour on your kindergartners. I mean, come on, it's like you can have drag queen story hour you want in your own home or wherever you want in an adult environment. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the point of doing it to your kids?
I got no issues at all if they want to go do drag queen story hour at the old folks' home. I'm sure there'd be some people that would love to hear a book and hear a story and be able to do that. You know what? That's perfectly cool. Why is it always kids? Why do they always do this? Because when you start breaking it down, their values and their core beliefs and everything that they stand for is bad. That's all it comes down to.
I think it's like they used to call it evil.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, you know. And then they just twist it and all kinds of into a pretzel to make it seem like it's okay. You're taking their rights away from them. No, you're taking the kids and the parents' rights away from them when you force it upon someone else, and that's the problem. But that's what they do with everything. You know, you're a fascist, you're a Nazi, you're this, you're that. But oh, by the way, we're going to have drag queen story hour on your kids, and if you say anything, you're a homophobe.
Well, and okay, so we have schools. We have all of these students that are across the United States that are quite frankly failing.
Well, why do you think everybody's pulling their plugs on the public schools that are advocating for this? I mean, I saw a speech done by the National Union rep or whoever she was. She could be Hitler's wife. I mean, it was awful. You know, and then just citing fascism as the problem and the saving democracy and freedom. But they're against all of that, and they act like they're the ones that are, you know, the ones that are the champions of it.
Well, and so there was a study that came out 3 days ago. So they showed large numbers of college students have no knowledge of U.S. civics. So the American Council of Trustees Alumni Act A.
From what I've seen, a bunch of them have no knowledge of anything except, you know, what the next party is.
Presented 35 questions to 3,026 undergrad students, so pretty big, to test and assess their grasp of facts about U.S. history and government. The survey conducted by the College Pulse between May 10, 2024 and June 19, 2024 revealed roughly three-quarters of students, 73%, do not know who the Senate president is. 60% of the students do not know the term links of the members of U.S. Congress. Only 37% know that John Roberts is the Chief Justice of the Supreme is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Only 23% of students know that the phrase "government of the people, by the people, for the people" comes from the Gettysburg Address. Only 35% know that Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Only 28% of the students correctly identify the 13th Amendment as the government action that freed the slaves. Only 32% know the trial of impeachment takes place before the Senate, despite living through two recent presidential impeachment trials. Less than a third of the students know that the legislative branch has the power to declare war, and 89% of the students know that Amazon is owned by Jeff Bezos.
There you have it. I guess we got a caller on the line. Are you there, Dick?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you're on the air.
Yep. You know, I need some help here. Your sister Linda Kent is a president of a group called Shasta County Veteran Support Group.
Right.
And Jim Richards is the vice president, and Linda Billingsley is the secretary, and me, Dick Wilkins, I'm the treasurer. And this group, it supports the state-run veterans home on Knighton Road. And we're having a fundraiser pretty soon, which I'll explain about. But in general, what do we do with the money we earn? Recently, we paid to recover several pool tables out there. We supplied military flags with stands for every branch of service, built a basketball court, purchased a bumper pool table recently, purchased a shuffle board and dance floor. And July 3rd, last month, we provided root beer floats, social stuff like that. And all the money that we earn goes to help the home out there. And no member or elected board member received any compensation. We're all volunteers. And the spaghetti dinner is the last Saturday in September. It's the 28th of September, and it's going to be at the VFW in Anderson's VFW Hall. And the tickets are $15. Veterans are $13. Kids 12 are $10. And I have tickets if somebody would like to have some. Anyway, and if you can't make it to the dinner, you can still help by making a cash or check donation, and we have a tax ID number. It's a nonprofit. But anyway, my number, if you want tickets, is 530-246-9131. So anyway, that's it, and we need some help buy tickets.
All right, very good. And say that phone number again, Dick, so that they can get a hold of you to get the tickets from you.
Yeah, it's 530-246-9131.
Okay, and how much are the tickets?
It's only $15 for adults, and veterans $13, kids 12 under 10. And there's, I mean, spaghetti and meatballs, salad, bread, and dessert. And that's pretty good for $15. You can't even get a McDonald's hamburger now for $15.
That's pretty true.
I'm pretty sure I'm going, Dick, whether I know it or not.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, I have tickets. I think Linda Billings has tickets also. And I know your sister, Linda, but she's tied up right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, please buy tickets from me, 530-246-9131, or drop by the Big Red Barn. You should call first. So, anyway, thanks for letting me spout off here and try to help the veterans home out there on Knighton Road.
Thanks, Dick. We appreciate the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and play the town hall now. We got a few seconds here, so.
That'll work.
Here we go.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors has taken unanimous action to address California's insurance crisis. They approved a letter to Governor Newsom requesting a state of emergency declaration to stabilize the homeowners and commercial property insurance market. Additionally, they adopted a resolution urging state officials to declare a statewide emergency and take immediate action. The board's letter highlights the economic detriment caused by insurance policy cancellations, particularly in underserved areas. It calls for expanding coverage choices, improving the efficiency of the rate approval process, and maintaining long-term insurance availability. The letter also emphasizes the need to protect fair plan policyholders and promote market resiliency in the face of extreme weather events. While Shasta County grapples with insurance concerns, another pressing issue is gaining attention at the state level. In a bold move stirring controversy, California lawmakers are pursuing legislation to shield children from social media hazards. The initiative, part of a nationwide response to what U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy terms a mental health emergency among youth, faces formidable legal hurdles. Tech giants arguing free speech infringement successfully thwarted previous attempts to regulate social media. Two new bills aim to reshape minors' online interactions, prohibiting nighttime notifications and requiring parental consent for algorithmic content. Despite bipartisan support, experts warn of potential constitutional conflicts. As the battle between child safety advocates and tech companies intensifies, the future of social media regulation hangs in the balance, leaving parents and lawmakers grappling with the challenge of protecting young minds in the digital age. The importance of such protective measures is underscored by recent events here in the North State. In a chilling reminder of the dangers lurking online, a Modesto man's four-hour journey to meet a supposed teenage girl ended in handcuffs. Ramiro Gonzalez Cordova, 33, was arrested in Redding after attempting to rendezvous with what he thought was a 15-year-old female. Instead, he was greeted by Redding police detective who has been posing as the minor on an internet chat application. The incident highlighted the ongoing efforts of law enforcement to protect children from online predators. Over 3 months, Redding police made 8 felony arrests in similar investigations, underscoring the critical need for parents to stay vigilant about their children's online activities. We must remain alert and engaged in our children's digital lives as the internet can be both a tool for connection and a potential avenue for harm. The debate over protecting youth online has even caught the attention of high-profile figures. Elon Musk and California Senator Scott Wiener clashed on X starting Tuesday over AB 1955, a new law supporting LGBTQ youth in schools. Musk criticized the law, claiming it would take away your kids and break parent-child relationships, announcing X's headquarters would be moved to Texas in response. Wiener defended AB 1955, accusing Musk of a fake temper tantrum and highlighting the increased online harassment he faced following the debate. Meanwhile, Governor Gavin Newsom signed AB 1955, also known as the Safety Act, prohibiting schools from disclosing students' gender identity or sexual orientation without permission, with some exceptions. The California Attorney General's Office and Department of Education can act against non-compliant districts. The law doesn't prevent teachers from discussing these matters with parents or altering existing parental rights regarding educational records. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Very good. There's our Town Hall. Excuse me. And I guess we have a caller. Lori, are you there?
Good morning, you two. Yes, I am.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I was going to give you maybe a little bit of a snippet from the Global Alert News, which Dane Riggington does. I left him a message earlier on his voicemail, so I'm not sure if he'll be able to call in, or he's doing shows all the time in different time zones. So that's what it is. So I just would like to share that, and then I have something to say about the Board of Supervisor misconduct disruptions at the end of that. If people are able to go online, go to Global Alert News, episode number 468. It was released yesterday, and Dane opened up the show about the park fire, the explosion of how fast in multiple directions. Key thing, if you can imagine taking out a hairdryer or a blow dryer, and you just turn it on, what, low, medium, high, super high, and you aim it at different directions, that seems to be where we're at with these nefarious monsters, the geoengineers that can take these fires up. You had your earlier caller, Jimmy, say that the fires tend to aim or go upward. Well, there you go. So why is this starting from Chico, Butte to Tehama, and then now we're into the Shasta County area? So we already saw this in Paradise, that fire where blanket aerosol spraying was done above the smoke canopy. Those pyro cumulus fire clouds, why are they spraying above that? We already know they're spraying constantly, day and night, with desiccants to dry it out. We've had, what, months and months of constant high-temperature heat. The nighttime temps are twice as, what is the word? They're not. We're not cooling off at night is the point. And so we've, what, had 76 days without rain. The extreme fire behavior, they call it, farnados. Remember that from the car fire, folks? Sure you do. And in Redding, a three-week period, the hottest two-day, the hottest three-day record, hottest week, hottest month. We're shattering heat on the planet. So, yes, this stagnation in March, no wonder some of us are choking, coughing, and just jeepers, creepers. We're not smokers. We're not. This is not normal. So, again, if you could tune into Dane's Global Alert News, 55 minutes, commercial-free. The UV levels are also a disruptor. The ozone is barely there. So when you touch your car, it burns your skin. I have gloves in my car from winter. So when I shut my car door, I'm not getting burned. That's how bad it is. So we've had 570 months above average temps. And do any of us see this going away? This is just, I think, in my opinion, another way to depopulate and ruin the crops, orchards, food supply. So that's my tip right there, is just pay attention. This is not natural, quote-unquote, Mother Nature. Do the firefighters know it? They absolutely do. They're risking their life on something that they have no idea what's happening above, whether it's DEW, direct energy weaponry, lasers, plasma beam, Space Force, you name it. There's a lot going on up there, and do you think we're being told the full 100% truth of any of it? No.
Well, I don't know what the truth is anymore, but I do know this. I do know that where the fires are hotter, I believe it's to a lot of mismanagement in the fuel sources as well. It used to be when I was a kid, we'd go in, and I actually was a part of doing what they call brushing, and you would brush the fourth floor and make piles and burn them off all in the winter of all the extra fuels. I don't know if that's an ongoing program. But we do know the mismanage of the forest at the minimum is part of the problem. And then, you know, all these other things, I don't know to what extent they are part of the problem. But anybody who, I mean, would anybody be shocked if we found out everything that you just said is true?
Well, exactly. So
I don't know.
I think they're still experimenting. They're trying to perfect their tools, which they have many of. And why not practice on California? Gee, we just seem to be the guinea pig state of the union.
Well, the whole western United States is on fire right now. I mean,
yes,
if you look at
Canada,
the fire...
Siberia.
Well, if you look... I haven't looked at Siberia, but if you look at the fire map, I'm on Fire Watch, and there's probably a few other ones out there. And you zoom out and see all the western states are on fire, which is kind of interesting. Because obviously that's where most of the forests are at. But I don't know if it was like this. I mean, we used to have fires, but I don't think we ever had fires this severe.
Well, and there's elements of it to where I have to question.
I'm sorry.
There's elements of it to where I have to question the plan for America the Beautiful. Because as we go back and we look at the WEF plan to basically rewild vast portions of the United States, you have America the Beautiful, which is spotlighting the work to restore, connect, and conserve at least 30% of lands that are privately owned in waters by 2030. Now, when you look at some of the maps where they plan on doing this, it is in these areas where all these fires are there. And it's something to where a lot of people have been noticing. I mean, we're right on the anniversary of one of the previous fires that's there. It could just be the seasons. It could just be what's going on. But it makes people wonder, and with the fact that we can't seem to get answers from anybody nowadays, you get more and more people that are saying, yeah, we're seeing this as intentional.
I'm pretty sure Dr. Evil exists now.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know who it is, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, the combination. But I'll tell you what, something is definitely happening on a worldwide scale with the politics involved. What they're spraying, I don't know what they're spraying. Are they spraying something? I guess that's up for debate as well. But from what I've seen, they're obviously spraying something. I don't know everything, but what I do know is this. I do know that we've got to get control of our local government before we can get control of anything else. And as we develop this control, you know, from the local to the state to the national, maybe we can find out what's going on with some of this stuff and try to stop it. I would not be surprised at any of it at this point, because these people will do anything, whether through absolute gaslighting. I mean, look at all the guys in the green deals that are just, the green doesn't work. You know, it's screwed up California, screwed up the grid. I mean, so these guys, you know, are either totally misguided or totally informed. Take your pick. I don't know, Lori, but
I'll finish off with local, since that's where we're always
right. Yeah, like I said, I don't disagree with anything you said. I just don't know a lot of it from a factual standpoint. I just believe my own eyes.
And I smell what I smell. That's smoke, and we're on fire.
There you go.
So here's my last point. The last recent Board of Supervisor meeting, with the misconduct, the disruptions that keep happening by the same few people, I would like to say, as a licensed marriage family therapist, be very careful if you are a parent and you perform and conduct these protests, you sit down, you lay down, you be a rag doll. If you're going to be cited, and the sheriff is finally, thank you, Sheriff's Department, for enacting and enforcing, because I have made so many reports in my lifetime to CPS or CFS, whichever you want to call it, Child Protective Services. Parents will be separated from their children if there's abuse, neglect, and all the rest. Poor decision-making. So if you shack up with someone who's a sex offender and a drug user and all the rest, yeah, your kids will be removed for their safety. I'm just saying, I helped conduct with the county family team meetings through social services, and we were trying to reunify the birth families as best we could if they took care of their alcohol addiction or anger management or whatever else their problem is, so that these kids are removed from foster care. So I'm saying, if you're an individual and you are unfortunately impaired or injured and you're on a cane and you're limping, why would you sit down in the middle of the board meeting and then lay down, and then you're taken out gently by four sheriff's departments? That did cost us. So, yes, I think we need to have this penal code in broad, big font, big, giant poster sign for the next meeting, which is this Tuesday, 5:30 p.m.
I'm curious, Lori, do you know if we heard earlier, does she work for the county, the city, or some government
agency? I'm hearing Kathy Allen hired her, and this individual told me she got a job, and I don't know if it's part-time or full-time, but I'm just concerned that somehow, because your husband or a family member or whatever decision was made by whomever, that you decide to have a meltdown and close our county business for this long period of time, and then you're apparently, according to other people, saying you're asking for other people to follow you and do this. Please do not lose your children because of these horrible decisions that you're not thinking through. If you're just running on emotions and stress and whatever else is going on, I'm telling you, as a mandated reporter, when we see stuff like this, we absolutely can call protective services and go, you know what, something's off, something's weird, something's bizarre, something's scary, and I don't know who these two children are, I don't know their ages, but I'm just saying, knock it off, dial it back, use your 3 minutes, and get off the podium and sit down and sit quiet.
And I'm curious, you know, I want to, you know, make it clear. The only reason I bring up the employment thing is I'm just curious because I know, I'm pretty sure a husband works at the county or the city or something.
An analyst.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how do these people get all this time off? I mean, I have my own, you know, work that I do, and I don't have,
yeah,
I can hardly make time off for, you know, any of it, you know, especially during the season where I'm working hardcore like this last 6 months. And I'm still trying to catch up, but...
Hey, Mark, you're bringing up a great point. We've all had this. Every time we see that individual at these meetings, and we're like, hey, it's a daytime meeting. Most of them are.
How is the time clock? How is the punch card?
Yeah, how does that work? I mean, you just take off any time you want, or maybe they saved up their time. Maybe that's all they do. Maybe they're fanatics.
I think it's worth looking into.
I think it's just a kind of a one. I mean, I just don't understand because it's every Tuesday, you know. How could you just get off every Tuesday? Without
excellent question mark.
Most of us have to actually try to make a living somehow.
No, and then the rest of the people are completely unemployed, probably just smoking dope all day.
Well, they're on some. I bet you dollars to donuts that most of those guys are on Social Security, some kind of assistance,
disability.
No, I'd almost bet you money they don't work for a living. Most of them.
Well, they work real hard on social media, don't they?
I guess. I don't have time for that. I mean, I
don't either.
Yeah, all I do is post memes and get off because I don't have time to do all this stuff. I've got enough time just to do what I need to do as far as work and so
right.
forth.
Right, and our taxpayer money is going to these idiots. So. It's the same few people. They should not be able to enter after so many violations. And the DA had better pursue the citation, fine, and whatever.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
I probably won't.
Yeah, probably be turning blue by the time you get it.
Yeah, you know, the track record's been pretty stellar about
anyway,
not prosecuting.
Anyway, that's my input from being a married family therapist. Be very, very careful of how you conduct yourself in public.
All right, very
Blood
good.
Love watching.
Thanks, Laurie. We appreciate the call.
All right, thanks, Mark. All
you
right,
bet.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to our break, and then we'll come back. Whenever you're ready.
I am just a simple man.
That's our inside. That's our exit song. You should probably play something different. Yeah, go with another one up higher.
Further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Unleash the heat and let the hump turn every moment into a sizzling spectacle. Experience the allure of the hottest male performers heating up the event center at Wind River Resort and Casino on Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. Get up close and personal with these male dancers as they work their way from the stage and through the crowd. Tickets for this steamy event are just $20 plus fees and include $10 free slot play. Tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. At Wind River Resort and Casino.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's
5300.
Johnny, for your
care, 43,
yeah,
I'm clear.
it's a little Babylon Bee, California Flynn. I mean, those guys are funny. They just come up with so much crap. It's unbelievable. But that's an old one there. But let me play this clip real quick, and then we'll go from there. We don't get
donate.
There we go. Hold on. Here we go.
Kamala urged her followers to donate to the so-called Minnesota Freedom Fund, helping raise $35 million to set loose violent offenders after they shot at police, looted your store, sexually assaulted innocent victims, and committed all sorts of other heinous crimes. One of the criminals Kamala helped bail out of jail was Sean Michael Tillman, very famous now, unfortunately, a repeat offender who, with Harris's help, was set free. She set free many very bad people. And then he went on a murder rampage. He killed a man on a train platform in St. Paul, shooting him 6 times in the head. Okay? She just turned him free. Ultra-liberal Kamala Harris will deliver crime, chaos, mayhem, and death to our country. I will restore law and order, justice in America. Kamala.
There you go. It's crazy because if you can't see the contrast between Kamala Harris and Trump, it's just unbelievable. I mean, he wants law and order. She says she does, but she doesn't. Everything she does indicates she doesn't. You know, you got to look at their actions, you know. Look at the actions. Now, everybody, you know, on the left calls Trump a liar. But they can't really point to any specifics when you say, give me an example.
Well, and I've got a poll here that is as of the 24th, 4 days ago. And I feel like this is a pretty important one that we cover. Nearly two-thirds of voters believe cheating will occur in the 2024 election. More than one quarter admit that they would consider engaging in illegal voting to help their preferred candidate. That's the headline. So, the corporate press echoed frequent statements from the government security officials who maintain that the 2020 election was the most secure in history. Despite this, over the past 3 years, many states have enacted laws aimed at strengthening election security, meticulously documented by the Heritage Foundation's Election Integrity Scorecard. Yet these measures, including voter ID implementation, ballot harvesting restrictions, and other modifications to state election processes and infrastructure, have not quelled public skepticism. According to a Heartland and Rasmussen poll, nearly two-thirds of Americans believe that there is high probability in the 2024 election could be stolen. The poll reveals that 62% of voters are concerned that cheating will impact this year's election, and more than a third, 37%, saying they are very concerned. The survey underscores the validity of these concerns, particularly in the key battleground states where the last presidential election was decided by razor-thin margins. In these states, 20% of respondents reported that they either are receiving more than one official ballot by mail or receiving a ballot sometimes for someone not residing at their address. The fact that more than 60% of likely voters are concerned about the election integrity should be a massive wake-up call to those that refuse to admit that the potential cheating in elections is a major problem. Chris Talgo, the Heartlands Institute educational director, said in a statement on a survey of 2,466 likely voters nationwide, as the 2020 election demonstrated, mass mail-in ballots based on outdated voter rolls, ballot harvesting, and unattended drop boxes are no excuse for mail-in voting, has made it easier for those who focus on committing to breaking the law and implicitly and illegally voting. Tello added, the fact that nearly one in five likely voters received multiple ballots before the 2020 election cements the case for urgent need for election integrity. So, one in five, according to this. That's not inconsequential.
Not a significant number. So I'm going to go on, and here's an article that I ran across from Zero Hedge. It's entitled, in her own words, Kamala Harris's Radical Vision for America. And basically, while the left is trying its hardest to recast Kamala Harris as a moderate Democrat, quietly scrubbing her public record. We're starting to see the scrubbing of the information or the attempt at scrubbing it. Over the last 5 years, her actual positions have been radical. For starters, she's on record wanting to abolish ICE, which she compares to the KKK, letting criminals like the Boston Marathon bomber and rapist vote. She wants to ban fracking and offshore drilling, defund the police, provide U.S. taxpayer subsidies to health care to illegal aliens, and ban private health insurance. So, you know, you go down through this, she supported bailing out the 2020 riots, all the people that rioted in 2020 across the nation. She wanted to support bailing them out. At the same time, the J6 guys get slam dunk across the board. She puts other countries' borders before her own. So her father was from Jamaica, and her mother was from I had it right here, but was not a foreign. Was not an American citizen. Neither one of them were American citizens when she was born, which is, you know, another suspect as far as what's a natural-born citizen and, you know, all that stuff. There's a pattern here of these people not being or having allegiance to America. And, you know, if that doesn't make you take pause, then you're not paying that much attention because you don't care about borders. If you're a globalist, it's all good. We all just want to live under, doesn't matter if a foreigner becomes our president. But what happens to America? What's happening now is what happens to America. It falls apart. You're going to see food shortages. You're starting to see some of that already. You're starting to see supply line shortages. You're seeing inflation go through the roof. So, you know, Harris, you know, puts other countries' borders before her own. You know, she wants to deliver peace and security to everybody but us. So she proudly, she supported Jesse Smollett, the race hoax. She sponsored legislation that would codify abortion through all 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
She's openly anti-Catholic. She refuses to oppose abortion until birth. I mean, that's just, her record is just absolutely, she's a communist. I mean, let's just admit it. Her father was a communist, and which is interesting, his name was Donald J. But, you know, we've got clip after clip. I could play, you know, all these clips on what she has to say, and her stance has been off the chart leftist. She has been the most leftist senator in American history, and she has also been the most leftist vice president in American history. And look at her track record on the border. That's all you need to know. The illegals are coming over. She was supposed to be in charge of it. Now all of a sudden they're backing off of that position like it never happened. She was never the border czar. No, we've got the words. She was appointed, you know, by Biden to take the position. She accepted it. You know, but these guys have no conscience about making these policy decisions and then, obfuscating them later on when they're held to account over it. And now she's, you know, got to wipe out the slate, you know, wipe the slate clean so it looks like she's actually a moderate so that more people will vote for her in the election.
Well, on the people on her side, too, it's you don't even have the side that you're on. So, okay, so Kamala Harris oversaw more than 1,900 marijuana convictions as the San Francisco district attorney. But in a way to be cool and edgy, she went on TV and said, oh, yeah, I smoked weed and I did that. So where are you to convict 1,900 people and sentence them to jail and prison time because of the same thing that you ended up doing? And furthermore, this is the news from our border and what it looks like when a country actually has a border. So this is interesting. As of yesterday's date, more migrants apprehended in northern border sector in last 10 months than last 13 years combined. Border Patrol agents in Swanton sector of the U.S.-Canada border have apprehended more than 15,000 migrants thus far this fiscal year, and more than previous 13 years combined, according to the U.S. Border Patrol reports. The Swanson Sector Border Patrol agents have apprehended 15,000 subjects in less than 10 months, which have exceeded the total number of apprehensions made by the Swanson Sector in the last 13 years. They have encountered and apprehended multiple undocumented migrants, self-admitted and suspected of gang affiliation, some within human smuggling and other crimes. We pursue every level of consequence available within our attorney. And so he also has pictures here of all these people, and these people, like, imagine it, face tats, you got like all the, somebody pulling off skin masks and having a person with a bandana underneath it, like some pretty graphic gang affiliated tattoos all over these people's faces. But this is how Canada is dealing with it. This is how we are dealing with it at the U.S. Mexico Canada situation.
We just had...
Hold on, I'm sorry. I hit the button.
That's okay. So here is our border now. In Mexico, three Palestinian terror suspects caught after crossing the border illegally as overwhelming agents. I probably let terrorists in. Border agents detained three Palestinian migrants who illegally crossed the southern border after they were found to have possible ties to a terrorist organization earlier this month, according to sources. One of the migrants had salacious photos on their phone, including picture of a masked man holding an AK-47 rifle, federal law enforcement sources said. In addition to the three Palestinians, federal authorities caught one migrant from Turkey who was also suspecting of having ties to terrorist groups. The migrants were amongst dozens and dozens of people who turned themselves into border agents at the San Diego sector, said sources. An investigation into the migrants is ongoing, sources said, and the group was transferred to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is investigating their case. This is the latest example of potentially security threats entering the U.S. via the southern border, especially at San Diego. Overwhelming Border Patrol agents tell the Post that they do not have the tools to fully vet the migrants who are coming from all over the world, particularly into the San Diego area. Yet, mostly are able to use the U.S. terror watch list and other American resources to help determine which migrants could be a terror threat. Border agents have not had access to terror or criminal databases from other countries. Knowing who those guys are, we have, like, no access to anything international. Like, we don't have any of that thing of that kind, said one border agent who spoke anonymous because they were not authorized to give public statements. I wanted to get into Border Patrol and protect from terrorists, and it's like, well, I probably let terrorists into this country. That is our border contrasted with the Canada border. So Canada is in a panic because they've apprehended 15,000 people trying to come over their border. Meanwhile, we have known terrorists that are probably being let into our border daily. The fact that we haven't had a successful terrorist attack on American soil right now already is an act of God, in my opinion.
Well, stay tuned.
So, unfortunately.
Yeah. So here's another one, a fact check. Harris campaign admits it lied about Trump. Got a fact check on this 2025 agenda. Excuse me. Now, I've been looking into this 2025 agenda. It's put out by the Heritage Foundation. Trump says he has nothing to do with it, but they keep trying to paint him with this thing. And, you know, it's interesting because I actually agree with some of the 2025 agenda. I haven't read the whole thing. It's 900 pages, but I'm working on it. But it's a myth that Trump has anything to do with it. He's already said he doesn't. I'm not sure that I would, and I know why he's distancing himself from this, because it talks about, you know, evidently cutting some Social Security and that type of thing. And, you know, criticizes the Affordable Care Act and talks about getting rid of it. I think some of that's a good thing. I mean, I think we need to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. I want everybody to have affordable care, but, you know, whatever they say the act does, is it does exactly the opposite. Everybody's got insurance now, but nobody can get treated. I mean, It's kind of like the...
Try finding a doctor.
Right.
Try it. I mean, see how long it takes you to actually get in. We're well on our way to having the Canada form of standardized health care, to where if you're coming in for anything but a broken bone, you're probably going to die waiting.
Well, and it's like the Social Security. Gee, we need to, you know, get off Social Security, in my opinion, and it was slow or whatever, because when we do get weaned from it, the way things are going, we're going to get weaned awful fast from it because the money's not going to be worth anything. Elon Musk tweeted this out three or four times in the last week. By the way, we're going bankrupt. Mm-hmm. By the way, the United States is going bankrupt. It's going to bankrupt, and this is going to hit suddenly, and when it does, I don't know if it's before or after the election. I think they're trying to juggle the plates to keep it up before the election, but I'll tell you what, you can't keep going the way we are. The more people that are dependent on government, the more people that are going to get shocked when this whole thing falls apart. You know, so you got to get less and less dependency on government. But now that, you know, we've been shoved into it, it's going to be painful unwinding it. There's going to be austerity. There's going to be a lot of problems with all these things. You know, and I'm not begrudging people that worked their butts off and paid into Social Security. Yeah, you got cheated. You're going to get cheated out of it. I guarantee you, because, you know, the fact that they keep printing money is going to make it worth less and less and less anyway. And when they go bankrupt and default on all their positions, now what?
Well, and so right now, so the U.S. total national assets, $210.5 trillion roughly. U.S. unfunded liabilities, $217.5 roughly trillion dollars. Okay, so we are bankrupt. We have negative amount for everything that we have. Definition of bankrupt. That liability carries to the U.S. citizen. So each one of you U.S. citizens that are listening to this broadcast, you have the liability based upon the government of $644,973. Now the assets per citizen for everybody combined across the United States is only $622,511. Do you see the problem? You are negative $20,000, including your house, including your car, including all the crap you own. You're bankrupt. So now when people stop buying our debt, we don't have the ability to keep turning around printing money because nobody's going to buy the money that we printed. In other news, at the same time as we've got that going on, Biden administration unsure if it's sending money to the Taliban audit finds. Missing records obscure $293 million in potentially misallocated State Department funds. To ensure whether the funds are not inadvertently sent to designated terrorist organizations, the State Department established guidelines, vetting processes, and risk assessments. However, in a recent government audit by the Office of the Special Investigator General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, SIGAR for short, determined the two State Department bureaus, Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor, DRL, and the International Narcotics Law Enforcement have failed to comply with vetting requirements and cannot confirm that they have not inadvertently provided funding to the Taliban. Yay! Go government!
Yeah, crazy. You know, and I'll tell you what. I'm going to play this again. This is Jared Bernstein, who was the chief economic advisor to the president. I think this is the clip of the year because this tells you what's going on with this administration. Are they puppets? Yes, they're puppets to who's ever pulling their strings. We're not always necessarily sure who it is. A lot of payoffs from Ukraine, China, who knows. But this is Jared Bernstein. This is a microcosm of the problem from this administration, and Kamala Harris is exactly going to step right into the same position and do the same thing. Here we go.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
It obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets... Some of the language that some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do?
Oh my!
They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Since they sell bonds, and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah, so. A lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to, so, Yeah, I guess I'm just, I can't really talk. I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
Okay, so he is currently a member of Biden's cabinet.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can't make that crap up. Now, his name is Jared Bernstein. He is currently the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors to the president. Now, he doesn't even understand the basic equation of how it works with the treasuries. What happens is the treasury instructs the people there to sell bonds. They print treasury bills. They sell them on the open market to whoever will buy them. And anybody can buy them. But what happens when you're so many trillions in debt, you have to raise the interest rates to sell the bonds in the first place. And who wants to buy a bond that has a potential default at the end of it and a long-term notice? So you're going to buy a long-term bond instead of a short-term bond. That ain't going to happen. So they're selling their short-term bonds, and it's rolling over and over. And who's the buyer of last resort? The Fed. The Fed is not a part of the government. It is a private banking organization that buys the bonds. Otherwise, why would you sell to yourself? Why would you sell treasuries to yourself if it was you? Why would you charge interest if it was you? It doesn't make any sense, and that's why he doesn't get it, because he doesn't even understand the equation.
Well, and that was the issue in the first place. As soon as you start having more money than is in existence, and you start charging interest on said not money that's in existence, now you're creating money that can't possibly be paid back.
Well, what you're creating is, it's called debt slavery. Mm-hmm. The interest on the debt is going to be the biggest line on the budget here in another few months. And so all you're doing is you're sucking up the budget and paying everything to a private bank on currency that they're basically counterfeiting to buy the treasuries in the first place. So that's one part of this guy's cabinet. So let's go down through the cabinet. We got Kamala Harris, Vice President. We got Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State. We got Janet Yellen. Oh boy, she's the Secretary of the Treasury. Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense. Merrick Garland, Attorney General. We've got Xavier Becerra as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Pete Buttigieg as the Secretary of Transportation. Are we seeing a pattern here of total and complete leftist incompetency? And it goes on and on and on. I'm not reading. Alejandro Mayorkas?
We very quickly have moved past incompetence to entirely competent but looking for a collapse. And what we see is that you've got these big bad globalists, the WEF and the rest of these people, that want us to be invaded. They want us to stop being a superpower. They've said it straight to our faces since 2016 out in the open. Let's look at Tommy Robinson right here this week. So Tommy Robinson says he's been arrested under the Terrorism Act.
Well, he's in England, so I want you to, the people might not know who Tommy Robertson is. He's a guy in UK. He's the head of the Labour Party, I think.
So thousands of people marched in the city on Saturday as part of an event organized by Robinson, whose real name is Stephen Yexley Lennon, while many others took part in the counter-protest. On Robinson's ex-post, he said on Saturday, "We can confirm Tommy Robinson has been detained by the police for using powers afforded to them to the Terrorism Act in 2000. The Metropolitan Police appeared to confirm the arrest, saying the tweet on Saturday another force was involved that they hoped that further information would be released soon." So what he's protesting against is all of the Syrian refugees and all the people that are coming into the country that are completely not abiding by any of the laws, that are killing people, that are raping people on the streets. And if you dare to say that, you can get arrested for terrorism.
Well, that's why they had to do these terrorism acts, because then they just target whoever they want. You're a terrorism, it puts you on, you have no rights, you have, like they did with J6. You're put in prison without trial for any length of time that they want. There's no speedy trial. You waive all your rights, are gone because you're under the FISA Act, get a FISA warrant, and it's about terrorism. Only they're targeting their own citizens, which is exactly the opposite of what the act is supposed to be. So whatever they say that you are is what they are doing, or they are.
It's always what they do. And it looks like with that, we are at the end of the show.
All right. Well, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And I guess we'll see you next week.
All right. Don't co-power with the government. All gun control is racist, and we'll see you all next week.
I am just a simple man working on the land. Oh, it ain't easy. I am just a simple man working with my hands. Oh.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.